Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Thank you, Farad, and welcome to my baby boomer friends. Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, the podcast made just for you, where we talk about all things boomer. And when I say we, I'm referring to my partners on this show. First of all, from the great state of Indiana, the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Because of the coronavirus lockdown, celebrities are giving virtual commencement speeches. In fact, I hear that Joe Exotic was just tapped to give the commencement address at Trump University.
Very nice. I wonder where Carol Bass is going to be speaking.
And, Baskin-Robbins, apparently.
Baskin-Robbins, there you go. Carol Baskin-Robbins. And joining us from Denver, Colorado, our own female Carolyn Strauss.
Yeah, and I'm so excited because I heard that NASCAR is going to be racing. No fans, no people, small crews. I hate NASCAR, but it's the only sports on TV, so I'm going to have to watch it just because I got to see something live that's not happening in a little teeny box. It's making me crazy.
If on ESPN late at night, you can get stuff like, you know, Australian midget slapping and stuff like that. You know, there's all different kinds of sports, but nothing really as exciting as watching NASCAR. I saw a golf thing on TV. Apparently they held a golf tournament somewhere.
Huh.
I heard that a guy won just by using a putter. I heard some story about some guy who played an entire 18 holes or something and won using one club.
Yes, you read that in the Friday Funnies. And that
it was you.
He didn't carry
it around. Wait a minute. Wasn't he a guest on our show?
No, that was the other guy who made the 87-foot putt.
Ed Prentice. He just uses a putter, too.
Well, this guy won a tournament doing it. He won it 84. He shot he gets a 200 yards off the tee with his putter.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think when all your clubs are at a pawn shop, you got to keep one.
You just won the Masters. What are you going to do with the money? Oh, I'm going to get my clubs out of hock.
Going to buy another club. But that's like the old joke. The guy bet that he could play the whole thing with his putter. He says, I get 200 yards on this putter. So he takes and drives and turns up about 200 yards. Now he's about 200 yards from the green. So he hits it again, knocks it right onto the green. And he gets there up. He's about a foot away from the hole, hits it again, 200 yards. I guess that was a physical joke. You had to see it. Anyhow. As baby boomers, we got a lot of stuff to worry about besides this coronavirus and the murder death hornets that are coming and all the other, I think there's a new hurricane on its way now. One of the things that, you know, baby boomers have to worry about is getting their identity stolen, especially since nobody's leaving the house and you're putting 45 credit cards up on the internet. And we tried to figure out how exactly can we battle this. So once again, we have gone to great extremes to secure an expert in the field. I want you to please meet Rick Zemek, who is the owner of Identity IQ. Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, Rick.
Thank you, Dale. I'm one of the owners, not the majority owner, but I'm one of the significant owners. And I feel obligated to tell you that in case the other owners are listening or watching.
Well, they can come on too. We'd be happy to have you guys. So tell me, Identity IQ, am I right in assuming that baby boomers got a big target on their backs?
Oh, they sure do. They sure do. And the reasons are they have a lot to lose, right? They have more assets than normal people. They have good credit scores. They have bank accounts and savings accounts, and they are trusting, and they're not necessarily technically savvy. So they do have more to lose, because you know, they're just not, they've been around a lot longer, so they have more. So that when you have more to lose. So yes, they are. They're a target right now.
So it's not just the fact that we're feeble and we can't remember anything.
No, no, but that definitely plays a role in it for sure.
Yeah, I thought
definitely plays a role in it.
I thought baby boomers had a higher propensity to believe in Nigerian royalty.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that too. And that's probably, I would love to know how many times that scam worked, right? I mean, it's amazing that went around for years and years and years. And, you know, it's kind of it's a game of numbers. If they throw enough of that stuff at people, there's a percentage of them, a very small percentage of them that will actually jump onto that thing. And that was kind of the whole beginning of this phishing movement that we have now, where it's become so much more sophisticated with these people that are sending the elderly baby boomers phishing emails, trying to get data. They're trying to comprise and get data from people so they can complete their credit profile or their identity profile, so they can use that against them for their own personal financial gain.
Dates, actually. I was watching a Jerry Springer. I was not actually watching it. Somebody was telling me about it. Anyway, so I was watching it, and there was some woman who sent like $200,000 to some guy who said he loved her in some other country, and they were having this whole relationship, but he stole all of her money. Can your company help with that? Or
yes.
Can your company help stupid is what I'm asking.
No, that isn't stupid. No. That's lonely.
Aww.
Yeah, that's stupid. But yeah, we can. Of course we can, but we can't help. We can't stop people from being stupid, but we can certainly do things to help them, you know, make sure that they don't give out information and have people steal things right out of their bank accounts and so on and so forth. So, yes, we can help them to a certain degree, but if people want to be stupid, they want to be stupid. So,
why don't you give us a little rundown on how your service works?
Yeah, okay. First thing I'd like to do is a baby boomer show. Wow, I was pretty impressed, and I had to look up on the internet, am I a baby boomer? So I went online and I looked it up, and I was born in 1964, and it said baby boomers 1946 to 1964. So I'm a baby boomer. So
yes,
I feel relate to the group and hopefully to your customer base and to the listeners here today.
We have the only we have the only customer base that gets smaller every day.
Yes.
And shorter.
And shorter. Yeah. I could tell you that I feel like a baby boomer. I feel old, and I know this because it is what it is. And last time I was at the doctor, matter of fact, the doctor took a look at my liver and quoted me to be 112 years old. So I know that.
It's aging nicely in a nice oak barrel. Very good.
Hey, I'm drinking for two now.
The rest of my body, I'll tell you that right now for sure. So anyways,
honestly, we've known each other for a couple of years, and I'll be sure, I didn't even know that you drank until I saw you sober that one day.
I knew you were going to say that, you know, probably. So I've been in the financial services industry for 35 years, and I actually owned a financial services company. I worked with all the major credit card companies, and we would do credit card processing, third-party administration, and I was in that industry for many, many decades. And the way I met Dale was we were at a trade show, and of course, I'll be careful not to say any names. We had a very high-profile financial services trade show, and Dale would do the hosting, the summarizing. You guys know what he does, and oh my gosh, he's the funniest guy ever. He's probably the only reason why I would get up in the morning and go to the opening session is because I got to hear Dale talk about, you know, summarize what happened the day before.
Wait a minute. They had Dale do the opening session?
No, I was the MC.
I know, but I'm just joking. I'm like, wow, to get him up that early, they must have paid well. Financial services, we love them.
Well, it sounds to me like Dale's paid Rick.
I told you that I have a fee for today, don't you?
I just gave him my social security number. Anyhow, yes. Mm-hmm. How does Identity IQ work? How do you, you know,
okay.
What do you
so
block?
I would, I, I would consider ourselves to be very, very similar to LifeLock. Basically, if you went onto our website, you know, I could do the whole comparison. But if you go onto our website, we compare ourselves to LifeLock. LifeLock is a great company. I'm not going to sit here and say a lot of negative things about LifeLock. That wouldn't be the purpose of me coming on the show. I will tell you that when you line up our services next to LifeLock, we both have very comprehensive services, and I feel that we have some advantages. And the main advantage that I feel that we have is that we have the ability to provide our customers with a three bureau credit report and score, merged report available every 30 days. And that's very important for us, is because as we start to talk about, you know, have I been a victim of identity theft? You have to ask yourself, okay, I don't have identity theft protection. Have I been a victim? And the best thing to do is not to necessarily, oh, I'm going to go sign up for some service that's going to get me an alert. I feel, and we feel, that the best thing that you could do is go to Identity IQ and run a three bureau merged credit report and score. A three bureau merged credit report and score is going to give you a history of everything you need to know about you. And you need to spend some time with that. You need to go through it. And I would say a baby boomer might want to have a child there, or a neighbor, or a friend, or a trusted person, and go through it step by step to validate that everything looks good. Because there's going to be the first indicator when you see something that doesn't make sense. Well, wait a second. I don't have a loan with, you know, GMC. You know, I don't have a car loan with them. What's going on? I don't have this credit card. What do you mean? I don't have this line of credit. So that's a really good baseline report. And
one more time, would you tell us what that is? It's the three bureau what?
It's the three bureau credit report and score.
Three bureau credit report and score. And that's what we should look for on the internet.
Yeah, you'll get it automatically when you sign up in our services.
Does it ding your credit when you check that?
Well, it's a soft ding. So it doesn't,
I've had experience with soft ding.
Boy, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard that.
Not good.
All right, here's the 20-second overview on that. If you as a consumer are inquiring into your credit report and score, there's a reason why you're looking. If that reason is called, it's called permissible purpose. If I use a permissible purpose, and Identity IQ does, as you're trying to inquire into your own credit report and score, it will not impact your credit score in any way, shape, or form. And that holds true for a lot of the people that are going out there and doing things for you. What will ding your credit report and score is if you're going out and applying for a loan for a car, a loan for a house, a loan for an apartment. When you start doing those types of things, basically what happens is the credit bureaus look at you and they say, hey, you know, I understand this Rick Zimek guy. Here's his payment history. Here's who he is. Here's his ability, what we think is his ability to make payments. Now he wants to go buy a fancy car. Now that additional investment of that money may impact his ability to pay these other bills, so therefore his score actually goes down. But when you're just inquiring into your credit report and score, it's called a permissible purpose of, you know, I'm just looking, is a lack of a better term. It will not impact your score whatsoever. So
can I ask something else? Is it dangerous though to look at those? Didn't Experian or one of those a couple of years ago have a security breach themselves? And didn't they steal everybody's social security number and stuff? I mean, why should I give you guys my social security number?
You are giving me a layup, okay? And I'm going to take it. yes, it was that particular breach was an Equifax breach. And it was, I forget how many years ago, but it was a significant breach in the area of over 100 million customers. Information was stolen. Now, if you've ever applied for a loan, rented an apartment, have a credit card, basically, if you've ever done anything, and we all have as baby boomers, you have a credit file in the credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. So there's nothing you can do about that. They have your data, and that's one of their core purposes, is to maintain credit data on you, provided to those companies that are looking to sell you services, primarily loan services. So what happened then is you can't do anything about it. You can't say to Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, take me off of your file, because they won't do it. They can't. So your data's out there. giving the data to me isn't going to change the fact that you already have a customer profile with all three credit bureaus. And yes, one of those bureaus was compromised and there was a significant breach in that. So that's scary. It's kind of like the people that have credit data to, you know, to help you actually, you know, was one of the reasons why so many of this of the information was stolen, which kind of brings me into the next point. And that is if I could send one message to baby boomers, it would be your data has already been compromised, probably. Okay. I know it's scary. I know it's a scary thing. So I'll use words like it's very, very likely that your identity has already been stolen. And I use very, very likely because I can't say obviously with 100% certainty that everybody's has, but especially baby boomers, going back to that previous statement of are baby boomers more vulnerable? Yeah, we have huge credit files. We have decades and decades of credit files. We have our information in so many places. And it's very likely that the data has already been stolen. So what's happening? It's sitting with hackers and it's sitting with the bad people who have a profile of my information. And it's just a matter of time before they use it against me. And it really is the truth. It's just a matter of when they're going to come and take my data and say, okay, I'm going to go after Rick Zimek. And quite honestly, they already have. And we caught it just in time. But a lot of people don't. And if I could just help, you know, I know this sounds cliche, but if I could just help one baby boomer realize that your data is probably already out there and you need to do something to protect it, I will feel very happy with today's call. And I say that because I feel like so many baby boomers have this mental block about identity theft protection. It's, one of my stories is I have a family member who's a little older than me, and he doesn't like what I do. He thinks, oh, my God, I don't need identity theft. I don't even go on. This is what he tells me. I don't go on the internet. I mail my checks. I don't buy things out there, and I go to the bank. Why would I need identity theft protection? Well, I ask him, have you ever had a car loan? Did you ever buy a house? Did you ever rent an apartment? Did you ever co-sign for your kid's college? And the answer to those is, of course he did. He has a credit profile out there, and he's probably given his information to all of his employers through the years, which means here's my driver's license, my social security card, here's my direct deposit information for everybody who's ever worked for, doctors, dentists, the list goes on and on in places that already have his data. It's already out there in dozens, if not hundreds of places. I actually wish I knew how many metal filing cabinets out there contained a picture of my driver's license and social security number. It must be mind-boggling. So
those aren't the pictures I'm worried about that are
around. Yeah. sorry to tell you, baby boomers, but you already are in trouble. Now what you need to do is figure out how you can protect yourself. And I consider myself today doing this as an advocate for the identity theft protection industry, not trying to sell my services necessarily. I'm trying to tell you that you need to do something, because doing nothing is the worst thing that you can do for yourself. Because when an identity theft incident occurs, it's been proven time and time again, it takes months and months and months to sometimes figure out that you've been a victim of identity theft, unless you have a very good identity theft service/monitoring company, such as ourselves, LifeLock, and many other people out there, several other people out there. So that's the bad news for baby boomers.
All right. Yeah. That, and you said that's one piece of advice you would give to baby boomers. My one piece of advice would be eat fiber. You know, and something I'd like to pass along, but then, you know, take care of your identity too.
Yeah, that's funny.
What would they do? I'm a baby boomer. I'm listening to this show. Say, hey, I need some of that. How would I go about getting it?
Well, you could certainly come to Identity IQ. You might want to sit down with somebody and kind of do an assessment of what you have. You know, there's so many places out there, credit card companies, insurance companies that are trying to give you free alerts and trying to, you know, pose themselves as I'm here to protect you. One thing I would like to try to tell people another thing I'd like to tell baby boomers is they need to understand the difference between credit card monitoring or credit card theft and identity theft. There's a big difference. That same person I was telling you about a little while ago said, oh, you know, why do I need your services? I don't do any of these things. And plus, anytime there's a problem with my credit card just calls me up and says, oh, there's a problem with your credit card. So, and they give me a new one. I don't need identity theft protection. Well, credit card fraud is not identity theft fraud. Credit card fraud is happening all over the place. The credit card companies, and I was been in this business, Dale, with that group that we worked with together for decades. Credit card companies do a fantastic job of trying to protect their consumers when there is credit card fraud. Why? Because they want you to continue to feel confident that you can pull that card out and you can buy your purchases and nothing's going to happen. You're not going to be responsible for someone who just filled up 18 tanks of gas in Miami, Florida, right? They don't want you to feel in that way. Otherwise, you won't pull out the credit card. They want you to pull out the credit card. That's how they make money. They write it all off. They're smart. They really got their stuff together, and they're there to protect you. Not necessarily that's the case with debit cards, but it certainly is with credit cards. So people need to understand the difference between credit card fraud and identity theft. And identity theft is much more. We do dark web monitoring, application monitoring, social security monitoring. I have some notes around here with all kinds of stuff, and online, it's very comprehensive. We are looking at every aspect of you as an individual trying to protect you. And
what exactly, if I can interrupt for a second, what exactly is the dark web? I've heard a lot of references to that, and you can get all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't be able to find at, you know, Kohl's. And what exactly can you is the dark web, and how do you get on it?
The dark web is an area that bad people use to do commerce. Okay. And you can't type in www, you know, whatever your website is. The dark web is a different internet altogether, and it's supposed to be as big as the internet that we see every day by going online, www. Years ago, and I'll tell you one quick story, scared the heck out of me. Years ago, I was working with a large credit card company with an identity theft workshop that we were doing, and the technology group came in and he whipped open his laptop and he goes, okay, we're going to the dark web and I'm gonna show you exactly what's happening. And he went on the dark web and he posed himself as a person who was buying stolen identities. He logged on to this website and behold, in front of me started scrolling consumers' data. Wow. And it was mind-boggling. And you could sort it. You could look at it. You can buy it piecemeal. You can buy it in its totality. You can buy it little pieces of information. So bad people out there might say, hey, Dale, I got everything I need on Dale, but I don't know his mother's maiden name. Or I don't know his Social Security card. So Dale, or let's look him up. Let's see if we can get him. Oh, okay, here's the Social Security number. It's going to charge me X amount of dollars. I can get his number. Boom, they got your profile now. It's a complete profile. They're going to go off and they're going to start doing things against you. They may look at Dale and say, oh, I like this guy. I'm going to buy everything that's out here on him. Or only I need a couple pieces of information. And they're like data analytics where they're going out and they're capturing little pieces of information all over the web, buying it in pieces and in parts or in totality. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get in an identity profile on me, the consumer, so they can use it against me.
My hope has always been that data is sortable by credit score, which means I won't show up till I hit to get to the bottom.
Oh, that's funny. When you think about things like what do they do with your identity? You know, you don't have to have a good credit score to file a bad tax return for somebody. You don't have to have a good credit score, you know, to do a lot of the things that these people are doing with your data. But yeah, that's funny. So there's a lot of really bad things going out there, a lot of really scary things. I looked at that website and I said to myself, I'm like, shut it down. And they're like, well, they are shut down all the time. And they move to various areas of the web by using these various addresses. And they do commerce on the web, all stealing and exchanging, selling data from from every consumer that's out there. It's very scary stuff.
Okay, one more question. Exactly, and answer this in 12 words, but exactly what do you do to protect people? What does Identity IQ do exactly to protect
people? All right. Once we set you up, get you a credit report, and we know you're clean, we set you up in a variety of comprehensive alerts and monitoring programs that are looking for all this activity. So when Dale, I'm trying to do a little more than 12 words, but if I seen you out there, I would say, oh my gosh, Dale is my member. And I just saw something go by. It's his password for his bank account. Hey Dale, you've been compromised. You better go out there and your password's been compromised. You better change your password. Your credit card's been compromised. Your social security's been compromised. And those types of things. So that's what we're doing. We're searching all of these things, setting up preventative measures, alerts, and monitoring to go out and search on behalf of our customer base, which is quite extensive, to protect them against any of the data that's scrolling through there and any of the data that's being took.
So you're basically you're an identity condom.
That would have been a great name for the company. Identity condom company. We keep the safe stuff
writing
inside.
That down right yeah. now, identity condom.
So you don't have to pull out of the dark web.
Oh, stay there. Stuff. We got you covered.
That is so funny. So anyways, I wasn't. I'm not trying to scare you guys, but I am. I am trying to tell you. You need somebody. So.
All right. So, baby boomers, here's what we learned. We're already screwed because our identity is out there. Somebody's just looking to stick it to us. So what you have to do is find somebody else who's going to take care of that and make sure that you don't get it stuck to you without prior notice and your willingness. Anyhow, Identity IQ. The IQ, intelligent quotient, or do you have a different meaning?
No, it's also here. It's www.identityiq.com. And for your listeners today, I hope I can do this. I set up www.identityiq.com/above the ground, and they'll get 25% off of all of our plans.
Okay, so let me just repeat that. You go to identityiq.com/, and you said above the ground.
That's, yes, all one word, no spaces. Above
this
the ground.
Is another day above ground, so that might concern them. So this is just above the ground.
This is just above the ground.
Above the ground. Okay.
Yes.
And that will get you what again?
25% off of all of our plans.
That's a beautiful thing right there. So there you go, folks.
If we quit being on your plan, do you then steal our identity? Just to be mad at us?
Only if business gets bad enough, right? It's part of their retirement plan. I'd never do that. I was going to say above the ground, you know, you can actually pass away and have your identity stolen. So maybe we should have above the ground and below the ground. Because it doesn't matter. These guys will steal your identity even after you've passed away. So
and
I'm sorry.
Vote in Chicago.
That's a good point. Our listeners weren't quite enough confused. And it's identityiq/aboveTheGround.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or .com. And then you'll get 25% off. Rick Zemeck, we've got to really thank you very much for joining us and telling us how we need to be safe because all the bastards are out there just waiting to climb into our Social Security funds. And I need that money, you know, for stuff.
the pleasure was all mine. And thank you for having me on the show. And if you know, this is a very broad topic with lots of complexities. If you ever needed me back, I'm sure somebody in my office right now is saying the next time we're invited, we'll bring somebody else on the show besides Rick, but we'll get somebody out here to help you and be a little bit more clear and concise.
Do you want to give out a phone number or no? I can understand if you didn't want to. Just a website should be good enough.
Yeah, website's good. I don't know what our phone number is off the top of my head. You can get everything you need off of our phone. I mean, off of our website.
I'm going to go to the dark web and find your phone number. I'll be right back.
Just your social security number, and we'll sign off then. So anyhow, thank you very much, Rick, for an Identity IQ to help us keep protected.
Thank you very much.
Well, now that we've got all of you baby boomers just scared to death, you know, it's time for our show to end and just let you quake in your own room. But yeah, there's some nasty stuff out there. There's a lot of bad guys, and we need to protect ourselves against them.
So, should have saved this one for Halloween.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got the masks and everything.
Yeah, everybody on Halloween's going to be wearing a medical mask anyhow. So, you know, oh, nice costume. What are you? Anyhow, what do you guys think, Carolyn? Any last observations? Any last words? I know that you are rather frightened by this whole thing, and you're.
I'm going to walk around my house and lock all my windows and doors now, and I'm going to turn on the alarm in my house and. Hopefully that'll make me feel better. Oh, my God. That was terrifying.
They're getting in through the computer. They don't come in through the door. They're getting in through the computer, the bad guys.
Well, thank God I don't know how to use it, so they won't either.
Tim, what do you think?
I think that the people should listen to Rule of Three with Ben Washburn and Tim Slega, where we don't do these kind of stories.
Yeah, it's a comedy show, right? What's this, a comedy show?
Is this
supposed to be funny?
Excuse me for adding content.
Yeah, we got two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. No politics and virus free.
No. There you go. You can't beat that. And if you don't want any of that, you tell all your friends to listen to Another Day Above Ground and visit our website, anotherdayaboveground.com, and leave us a message. Tell us if you'd like to be on the show. And I also want to tell you to visit daleurban.com, sign up for the Friday Funnies, a weekly video and written report of the otter stories in the news. Until all that comes to pass, however, go outside, take a deep breath of fresh air, and realize today is... Another Day Above Ground.
And that's it for Another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.